Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble, do we, Dr. Jasek?
We do not. That's like another, like, just kind of dividing line for me. I pretty much anymore won't work with people that insist on feeding kibble. There's always another way to feed the pet. I don't care what the excuses are, the money, the time, the convenience, the bacteria, whatever, you know, get over it. Gonna feed kibble, go see Dr. Holmberg.
There's a million vets out there that want you to feed kibble. I mean, there just are. I mean, that's the food of choice. And it's really amazing all the information that's coming out about the whole paradigm of traditional pet health. And if you've ever read, you know, Dogs Naturally, which you put a lot of articles in over there, I mean, they are really always coming out with the out of the box. Here's the truth. You want the truth. Can you handle the truth? Here it is.
They are very outside the box. I mean, I'm actually surprised. I mean, I like 95% of the time agree with the stuff they say. I acknowledge them for being as bold as they are, because I think a lot of publications just kind of walk the line because they don't want to be, push the envelope too far. They're going to offend anybody or, you know, I was reading a book I'm reading. There was a quote in it from somebody who I can't remember, but anyway, it was something like, you're never going to accomplish anything if you are worried about social approval. If social approval is your standard for why you do what you do, you're never going to get anywhere. You got to speak your truth. And Dogs Naturally does that. So I applaud them from that. And just a little plug, I'm going to be doing another doctor's rounds with them next week. Wednesday,
awesome. How do we follow you doing that? How do we get?
Well, I think their doctor's rounds is like a membership thing. So I think you might have to be like they have a membership. If you go to their website and look up their doctor's rounds feature or offering, I think it's like a paid thing. It's a membership thing.
Yeah. It's not very much. It's maybe like $15 a month or something like that, which is great. Right. Which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do doctor's rounds. I mean, I've done several of them with them. So I'm going to do a little presentation and then it's going to be a lot of Q&A. Because I want to make sure we can, you know, help people out with what they need. So yeah. Big supporter of Dogs Naturally.
Yep. They speak their truth. And we're going to talk today about one of your favorite subjects, not your favorite subjects, but something that you're very educated in, and that is cancer. So we are going to talk about a little more about cancer today, but I did want to go back to this kibble situation. So I was speaking with a customer and they were going to take their dog into the vet because their dog was gaining weight. And they said, well, I'm worried that they're going to be, you know, have something wrong with their thyroid because I guess one of their other dogs maybe had a thyroid issue, or somebody in that lineage had a thyroid issue. But the thing about it was that they were feeding half raw and half kibble. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I think if you drop the donuts and the candy out of the diet, then let's take a look and see. The other issue that they thought possibly that the dog was hyperthyroidism was because the skin and the fur did not look good. When I look back at the orders, it was chicken, 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 chicken. So I said, I think let me just give you a recommendation. Let's move away from the chicken. Let's move into other areas of food, you know, turkey, beef, tripe, rabbit, duck, mm-hmm. some other proteins. And let's pull that kibble out of the diet first before we get on some type of pharmaceutical. Okay, this would be the best suggestion to do before we get on pharmaceutical.
Exactly. And not to mention the chronic illnesses that are going to crop up because of feeding the kibble, because the kibble, not only is it inferior nutritionally, it's so inflammatory. It creates disease in the body. And if all you're going to do is mask that with the medication, then you're going to end up treating some much more serious condition like autoimmune disease or cancer or something like that. I see it all the time.
Well, not only that, but there's a great new article from our friends at Dogs Naturally. And it is how nutrients are depleted by pharmaceuticals. And so it's the article is called Medications That Deplete Your Dog's Nutrients. It is unbelievable, Dr. Jacek, when we look at antibiotics, anticonvulsants, anti-inflammatory drugs, heart medications, and our friends' vaccines, what they're doing to the dog's overall nutritional baseline. I mean, they're being depleted of things like zinc, magnesium, selenium, the B vitamins, the C vitamins. And at the end of this article, going back to what we talked about last week, in the article that's titled Medications That Deplete Your Dog's Nutrients, it says vaccines should never be given in the face of deficiencies of vitamin C, D, or A, or deficiencies of zinc, magnesium, or selenium. And in parentheses, it says, actually, vaccines should never be given to any being who isn't perfectly healthy.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I agree 100%. And even then, I'm more and more hesitant. The more things I learn about the vaccine industry, the more suspicious I get that, like, what are we actually giving our pets? What's really in these things? You know, I've watched some little, you know, videos about what people are finding in the shot. I'm like, I should put some of my animal vaccines under the microscope and look at them and see what's
if something jumps out at you, you let me know.
what's in there? Are we implanting parasites or something? You know, I don't know. That's a whole other issue, but there's just no question that I see an increase in inflammatory disease after vaccines. See it all the time. And I get a lot of strange looks from people when I say, you know, I ask the question a lot, you know, in my clients, well, what are you doing for vaccines? And I can tell people a little conflicted, like, does she think we should, or does she think we shouldn't?
Which way do I go? What do I say?
which way is going to get me in trouble? And so they'll give me an answer. And I'm like, no, I really recommend that you don't give them. And some people are like, good, because I don't want to do any more vaccines. That's why I'm here. Or I get this kind of confused look, but that's what I've been told to do, you know? So it's kind of, I got to have a little fun with what I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Mess with people just a little bit.
You've got big balls of courage. That's just all I got to say. You've got big balls of courage. You must've read my book. I like it. Okay.
I have read your book, actually.
All right. So just to give you guys some ideas of what's being depleted, antidepressants, those that are given to dogs. How do you know a dog's depressed? Okay, whatever. These deplete vitamin B2 and coenzyme Q10. Okay. So serotonin inhibitors, they deplete your melatonin and the iodine in your dog. Thyroid medications. Are you going, you think your dog has problems with weight? That can deplete the amount of iron in the body as well. And then medications for things like Giardia deplete magnesium. So, you know, a lot of people, Dr. Jacek, they want to call and say, hey, are these complete and balanced, all these foods you have? And I often, you know, want to say, well, what, and I do say this, I do ask the question, what vitamin, mineral, or trace mineral, macronutrient or micronutrient are you referring to? Well, I don't really know. I just want to know, is it complete balance? There is no such thing as complete balance. It's called variety, variety, variety.
Yeah. That, I think that's a great response, because I think that's one of those like catch-all phrases that make people feel better because they see it on the bag. And so, you know, people can go buy a bag of kibble and it says complete and balanced. And so people feel good about that, because that's, those are the words that they want to hear, even though it doesn't mean squat, doesn't mean anything. What is balance? Like, that's such a vague statement. It really doesn't mean anything. And as I was, you know, mentioning before we started today, I think when we get down to micromanaging nutrients, we really, really run the risk of getting the diet so far off balance. That's why, you know, I take more of a, you know, this macro approach. We look at whole food ingredients and we do this appropriate nutrition or appropriate rotation to get, you know, more well-rounded nutrition. And then we look at the pet. How's the pet doing? Is the pet thriving, or is the pet have some symptoms? Well, then we can add in other things like herbs and other natural ways of balancing the body or helping the body more. But I think when you just start drilling down to, you got to have these specific nutrients or this specific protein. And I think we get way, way too far off base and the pets end up malnourished in the process.
Okay. So if you are worried about any kind of, let's say, minerals, vitamins, proteins, lipids, take a look at the PhytoSynergy. I really love this. Again, the PhytoSynergy is great with all of the different vitamins and minerals. It has B2, B1, 6, 12, EC, K1. I mean, copper, zinc, has a lot of things in it. So if you've been doing pharmaceuticals, medications, they are going to deplete your dog. Let's get them back on a baseline. Vitamins and mineral baseline. You know, another question that came up this week, Dr. JC, pet parent doing great on the raw diet. Dog's doing great. However, finds every now and then a little pebble of poop in the house, a little pebble of poop. And he wanted to know what that could be caused from. It could be a sphincter issue or a hormonal issue. I don't know. But he thought that it could be a parasite issue. Now, I don't know if I can make that connection. So I wanted to ask you your thoughts about if we find little pebbles of poop somewhere in the house ever so often, what could be the cause?
Well, I wouldn't go to the parasite thing right off the bat. That would not be my first thought, because if the dog is, you know, basically it's an incontinence issue where, like you were saying, the something's wrong with the sphincter, or, you know, they're just not holding those little poops in as well. I mean, the little pebble poops are normal on a raw fed dog, you know, as long as they're not too dry and they're not straining to go, like they're having a hard time getting them out, then I usually will modify the diet to maybe make the stool a little easier to pass. But just dropping, I mean, that's not something I hear routinely. I don't know about you, but that's not a common thing. So I would think about, you know, we now do have smaller poops, and for some reason the dog is not able to hold them in or isn't getting that normal sensation. Hey, it's time to poop. But I don't typically find that to be an issue with raw feeding. Do you see that?
I don't. That's why I was like, well, I didn't understand why that kind of jumped to the parasite issue, right? I don't know how that would be affecting it. Overall, the pet parent said that the dog's in great health. I find, Dr. Jasek, that when we hear strange things, there's something going on out in either a podcast or a writing or something that pet parents associate that with. And here's one for you. Recently, people have been contacting me and asking me about iodine. And I said, iodine, what? So finally, about the third person that asked me about, you know, should they be adding iodine? Should they be giving? I said, can you tell me where this issue of iodine is coming from? And it is from a online, you know, raw dog kind of advice group, and I won't name the group, but they have these videos on YouTube and stuff like that. And they're constantly pushing that you need to supplement your dog with iodine. And I said to the pet parent, do you understand where iodine comes from in the raw diet? Do you understand how much? And they literally have these people with spreadsheets trying to figure out the iodine, how much iodine you should give your dog. And I just said, you know, I, again, back to that, I think that that could be a dangerous type situation. You know, feed fish, do some different things like that. But I, so when we hear a lot of comments that are kind of off left field, I always know that somebody is out there promoting something and it's getting the attention of new feeders.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've seen a lot of people do raw feeding poorly, you know, and inappropriately. So I think sometimes some of the problems that crop up or the health issues can be from just, you know, going to the grocery store and buying a bunch of hamburger and feeding that to your dog. And like, oh, they're on a raw diet. Well, that's not a balanced diet. So, you know, it's where it's important for people that are starting out to work with somebody that has experience feeding raw and how to balance the nutrition and how to rotate properly and all that. But, you know, things like iodine, you know, you can definitely get into a toxic level if you're giving iodine. That's why, you know, we always talk about doing whole food nutrition. So like you said, give, you know, some fish, the algae, maybe a little kelp. You know, kelp is a great whole food way to get a little iodine in. And I think when we give nutrients in the whole food form, we're way less likely to get into any kind of toxicity issues with it.
Yeah. You can get iodine from eggs.
It's not like it's, and I think sometimes people don't think about it. It's these nutrients are in lots of different foods in different varying amounts. Some are going to have more than others, but again, this is why we do the rotation, because if you're feeding all these different proteins and body parts and all these different ingredients, you're going to stand a pretty darn good chance of picking up these trace nutrients that the pets need.
Yeah. One large egg contains 24 mcgs of iodine, or 16% of the daily value of a human. That's of a human. Uh-huh. Okay. So I think if you're doing, and a lot of people do eggs, right? Mm-hmm. They add eggs to the raw diet, which is great. So I think that we do need to be very careful about this micromanaging. And this sweet customer that I talked to, they had lots of different supplements that they were giving the dog. Mm-hmm. So I think they were doing a magnesium supplement. They were doing a zinc supplement and an iodine supplement. And I was like, well, I mean, really just trying to calculate all that in the food. And again, I go back to Dr. Ian Billinghurst, who said it's impossible and it's almost dangerous. Now, one thing that we talk about all the time, Dr. Jasek, is that you can't leave your dog on one protein. And I do see that a lot. I do see that all the time. Pork, or duck, 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 or chicken. And we really are not going to get everything we need if we keep a dog on one protein. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just not going to do it. I had somebody contact me yesterday who had been feeding raw for a long time. And they went back to kibble. You know, I don't know if it was a price thing. I'm not really sure why, but she said it's had disastrous effects on my dog. And now I think my dog has leaky gut. He's all itching. And, you know, what do I do? And I said, just drop the processed foods. Let's get back on real food, rotate, and we can add in some, you know, green-lipped mussel or the phytosynergy, and let's just see how we go from there. And we have reasons for why we say friends don't let friends feed kibble, because we can't find any good kibble.
Doesn't exist.
No, it don't exist. All right. Kibble is also a cancer contributor. All right. And Dr. Jasek, you've worked with cancer patients for a long time. You see dogs with cancer. And as I was doing some research, it says for some breeds, the incidence of cancer is as high as 65%. And there's some principles that you can adhere to help your dog avoid canine cancer. Okay. Here's one that people don't typically talk about, Dr. Jasek, and that's spaying and neutering. And this comes from Dr. Demon, I think. Let me spell his name for you guys. His Dr. Demon Dressler. Do you know Dr. Dressler by any Mm-mm. chance? So he's out in New York. And he, along with Susan Ettinger, wrote the best-selling book, The Dog Cancer Survival Guide. Mm-hmm. So he talks about some of these different things that are big contributors to cancer. So we're going to talk about this, but we're going to talk about kibble in a second, why kibble is so bad. But I thought this was very interesting, spaying and neutering. And he said, you know, there are some health benefits to spaying and neutering, but the negatives, in his opinion, far outweigh the positives. And here's what he said. He said that in female dogs, they will get four times hemangiosarcoma in female dogs that are spayed. There's increased prostate cancer in male dogs, three times the increased prostate cancer in male dogs who are neutered. Osteosarcoma rates and Rottweilers neutered under 1 year of age get almost four times osteosarcoma. There are a lot of reasons that you would want to spay and neuter. But again, he's talking about if you spay your female before her first heat, before 6 months of age, you practically, are going to guarantee that there's going to be some estrogen disruption, and that's going to cause problems, right? These hormones are there for a reason. So he said, you really need to wait until a dog is at least 18 months of age before you spay and neuter. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think spaying and neutering anymore is really more of a management or behavioral decision and not a medical decision, meaning I don't think there's any really big medical advantages to spaying and neutering. But as you're saying, I think spaying and neutering can have some detrimental effects. I'd never heard that statistic on the prostate cancer. And that's really interesting because when I was in school, you know, we were taught that if you don't neuter male dogs, that they're more likely to get prostate disease of some sort. I don't think that's true because I've had more and more clients over the years leave their male dogs intact and it hasn't become an issue. But I think, you know, I think it's really important to remember that a lot of the research is going to be on, you know, kibble fed over vaccinated dogs. So I think that skews the results on some of the, you know, findings, at least like I'm talking about the findings that, you know, like when I was in school and the research that we were told that spaying, if you don't spay a female dog, she's, you know, more likely to get mammary cancer. But, you know, because of my holistic practice, I am seeing more and more dogs remain intact and I'm not seeing health problems with them. You know, the biggest issue is that sometimes they can't be boarded or, you know, go to daycare because they won't take intact dogs. But when we spay and neuter, and especially when we spay and neuter young, I fully agree with this waiting till they're at least a year, maybe even 18 months, especially in the bigger dogs, to make sure their bones and joints are fully developed. But the, you know, all the systems in the body are interrelated. And when you pull out a big part of the endocrine system by taking out these reproductive organs really young, I see some of these rescues spay and neuter at like 8 to 10 weeks of age. It's so, so young. And I'm like, oh my God, those poor dogs are just destined to, you know, a life of more chronic disease, not to mention being over vaccinated and all of that. But that's really disruptive to the normal development of the endocrine system and of the immune system. And it's been shown that spaying and neutering young affects the bone growth. That actually the growth plates stay open longer. When you see these like real long legged dogs, they look like they're walking on stilts. A lot of those dogs were spayed and neutered really young and their bones actually grow for longer, but we're disrupting the natural, you know, genetic programming for proper bone growth. So I fully agree. I mean, I think we need to give Mother Nature some credit for knowing what she's doing and how these systems in the body were, you know, meant to come together. And if you just in the long term, just really want to get your dog spayed or neutered, at least wait until they're over a year. Don't spay or neuter young. Absolutely not under 6 months. And again, I'd wait till a year or more if possible.
Yeah. So Lazzy just turned 3. Mm-hmm. And we have not, you know, fixed her. Yeah, she's got to wear her panties, you know, her little panties. And we have, you know, probably 12 pairs because sometimes when we're not looking and she goes outside, she poops in her pants. She pooped in her panties. And so, you know, it's sort of like a little kid. Or she'll go and squat and pee in her pants. They don't know they have pants on. They're just like, I go outside and I poop and I pee. But this is the avenue that we've chosen, right? So everything that I've seen over the years, and I want to do some things totally different with this dog. Now, I will say that when she was a puppy, unfortunately, she got a soup du jour vaccine because it came from, you know, one of our trainers. And I think it was something like a 6-way, scary. Right. So all of that crap that we talked about last week. So anyway, but we want to try to keep that body as clean as possible. Some of the other things that Dr. Dresser talks about are food dyes. Okay. Look, guys, when you go into Home Depot, check those treats out that they're giving your dog. Are they red and yellow? I mean, come on. These are food dyes that are made from petroleum products like oil paint that are in your food. And also these rawhides, again, these rawhides that look yellow and red, Dr. Jack, those have colors in them. You cannot give your dog reds and yellows, anything that has any kind of color in it without causing some major problems in their vitamin and mineral and health regimen. I mean, you can't do it.
And those colors are for the people. Do you think your dog cares if their treat is red or green or blue? I mean, why do they do that stuff? It's just for, you know, for the people. I read labels obsessively. You know, people are always coming in to see me and they got this supplement or that supplement. And I'm always reading the ingredients and, you know, whenever I see something like artificial or even natural flavors or coloring, or you have no idea what that is. That's another one of those really vague statements like all like natural or balanced. What were you saying? Balanced before we were talking about the balanced diet. What exactly does that mean? What is a natural flavor? Or, you know, certainly don't want artificial flavors, but anything that's added. I mean, why are we flavoring this stuff in the first place? If it's a natural animal product, dogs should like to eat it. If they have to add flavoring to it, then it's probably because they've processed it and processed all the, you know, actual flavoring out of it. But so many of those things are just, they're just for the people, for the, you know, pet parents, because they, I don't know. I don't know why it's a thing to feed your dog a little biscuit treat that's red or green or blue. Like, what makes it better? I don't know, but the dogs certainly don't care. So, you know, they're doing that for the people.
Right. It's so funny because, you know, Home Depot, they want to be pet friendly and they are pet friendly, but all of their associates walk around with these treats in their pockets and they are the colored dyed treats. And they know us so well now. And they still come up and they say, oh, can your dog have it? No. And then, oh, you're the raw dog food people. Right. You know, because we say, this one guy, he constantly, can your dog have a treat? No. And they're, oh, yeah, okay, you're Dee Dee and Rick. I forgot.
You're one of those people.
You know, and it doesn't really register with them when we say that's processed foods. We keep all processed foods out of our dog for health reasons. And they're like, okay, well, let me go over here to this other dog who doesn't care. It's so crazy to me. I mean, it just... Mm-hmm. But people, I guess, don't know. Hopefully you guys can spread the word that, you know, these type of little treats or food, you see it in Beneful, right? Beneful or Rachel Ray's food.
The worst. Yes.
I mean, Rachel Ray's foods, all colored. I mean, you're just like, what are we doing? No. Don't do it. The other thing, you know, or fats and oils, certain fats and oils. And when we're talking about that, make sure that what you are giving your dog doesn't have corn, soy, peanut, safflower oil, sunflower oil, or vegetable oil. You guys, these are very inflammatory. So we don't want to have any of those in your dog's foods or your treats. And I would say that they are plentiful and bountiful in treats. I see it all the time.
And I consider all oils to some degree unstable and potentially toxic. I think the safest fats are actually your saturated animal fats because they're stable. This would be like your tallow or lard or these, you know, solid fats. There's when they say like saturated, that has to do with the molecular structure. And it's the way the molecule is sort of put together. There's no like open ends on it. All of the ends are all sort of connected or there's something there. When we have monounsaturated or polyunsaturated, it means that there's parts of that molecule that can be more easily altered. And that's why they're unstable. And all of these, you know, the vegetable oils that you see at the store, the canola and the sunflower and the safflower and corn or soy in these clear bottles, all oils are going to be sensitive to temperature. So we have no idea what could have happened to them in transport. Now it's getting cold again. So heat, cold, and they're light sensitive. You know, if you go to buy a good bottle of like olive oil, it's always in a dark bottle because even olive oil, it's not stable forever and you want to keep it at a reasonable temperature. So not too hot, not too cold. And you want to keep it away from light. So all these oils that are in these clear bottles, they're probably all just so toxic. And so again, if we get fat in the foods, healthy fats, and I don't think fat, you know, we've talked about this before. Fat has been so vilified for being bad. But I think the reason that's happened is because there's so many bad toxic fats out there in these oils. And then you put these oils in, like you're saying, Dee Dee, in these treats or in the kibble diets, and then you process them at these super high temperatures, they're going to be even more toxic. It's not even bad, just bad nutrition. It's toxic. You're literally putting poison in your pet when you feed these, you know, overly processed rancid oils.
It's funny. We had dinner with some friends last night and you want to talk about health conscious people. Well, the wife is getting ready to climb Mount Everest.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And they've climbed Denali. They've climbed a lot of stuff, but we were talking last night and they're raw feeders as well. And I cannot remember the name of this documentary, but he said that most olive oil is not really olive oil.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And he said that, you know, our food supply is just, you know, there's a bunch of lies going on out there. A bunch of lies about our food. Can you imagine that, Dr. Jasek? I mean,
I'm shocked.
That people are saying things that aren't true. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on the human side, this whole thing about fat, it actually can be if you dig into when fat became bad. I mean, you look at, you know, people that lived, you know, 100 years ago. My mom, you know, she grew up learning how to make pie crust with lard and all that. And then all this information started coming out. Oh, well, those saturated fats, those lead to heart disease and they're raising cholesterol. And then they came out with these, you know, margarines and the Crisco, again, all just highly processed trans fats, some of them, which they now have openly admitted that those are toxic. But the real culprit at that point in time was the sugar. So they started selling, you know, more sugar. The sugar industry basically made fat out to be bad. And the issue with the increased heart disease and high cholesterol and all that was the people's bodies were becoming so inflamed because of all the extra sugar, the processed sugars that they were ingesting. That's what was making them sick. And they made it all about the fat, but it really isn't about the fat. It was about the sugar. And it was about supporting the sugar industry and helping that, you know, because people get addicted to sugar, get addicted to these processed carbs, and then, you know, they can sell more food because people get addicted to them. There's a lot of real sickness out there in the food industry and how things are marketed in both pets and people.
Absolutely. And you talk about sugar. Well, carbohydrates, one of the biggest reasons that we say friends don't let friends feed kibble is due to the carbohydrates. Okay. Cancer cells eat sugar. They have a high preference for sugar as fuel. So here we have a dog that has cancer, and then we put him on a prescription diet that is basically kibble, right? That's got plant proteins and other kind of carbohydrates in it. What are we doing? That doesn't make any sense, right? We've got to starve out those cancer cells. So you want to avoid grains and carbs. So I don't care if you're feeding a grain-free kibble, you still got a buttload of carbs in there. Mm-hmm. So there's just, that is just not going to be a healthy food.
I mean, not to mention the fact that all those ingredients are heavily sprayed with glyphosate, the grains and the grain-free ingredients, the lentils and the chickpeas and the peas and the beans and all that are all highly sprayed with glyphosate prior to harvest. So again, not only is it not appropriate nutrition, it's just downright toxic.
Well, what contributes to leaky gut? Glyphosates. Yep, that you're just absolutely talking about. And mm-hmm. then what does leaky gut look like? It looks like my dog's allergic to everything. Right? This is the problem. So you can attack it from the food side, or you can think it's, well, and we get these calls, you get these calls, you deal with this all the time where, oh my gosh, is it this food that's causing it? Is it that food? And I have one amazing pet parent who I just adore, but they have a German Shepherd that they cannot get the itching under control. Now, this dog has been on Apoquil and Cytopoint off and on. If you keep going back and forth with the Cytopoint and the itch medications, the allergy suppressants, I mean, again, as we've talked about, your dog's going to be deficient in vitamins and minerals. It's mm-hmm. going to destroy the gut biome. And so what do you do in those situations, Dr. Jacek, where everything's been blown out by, you know, vaccines, bad nutrition, medications, pharmaceuticals, allergy suppressants. I mean, what do we do? Do we just say, all right, you just got to keep the pet comfortable and know that you are destroying their health in the meantime?
Well, and I think sometimes people need to be realistic about their expectations. If they have this idea that they don't want their dog to like ever scratch, because I'll ask this question, like, okay, so exactly how itchy is the dog? Now, if a dog is staying up all night, keeping their people up all night, can't go on a walk without stopping to scratch, that's intense itching. But sometimes dogs just maybe itch a little more than normal. Or I'll ask people to send me pictures and like the skin will be just a tiny bit red, you know, or something. Like it's, I think sometimes if people can lower their expectations about what, you know, what their pet's skin and hair coat should look like. And maybe we can manage things. Cause I think we can always get some improvement, but maybe we're always going to have a little inflammation in the skin, and maybe it's going to flare up seasonally, where we can still help the pet and not just suppress all the symptoms. If people want all the symptoms to go away, you know, like right away forever, then they're going to have to go the conventional route. But in order to heal the pet, we're not going to have success in getting a healthy gut and getting a healthy immune system if you go back and forth with the suppressive medicine. And I know that's hard for people, because they don't want their pets miserable. And sometimes I go there. Sometimes I just say, okay, let's just get the pet on something, give it some relief for a couple of weeks. Let's just get some relief to the situation while we're letting the diet and the herbs and whatever else we decide to do, give that some time to work. But I think, you know, sometimes people just, they want everything just 100% perfect. And I think sometimes pets have conditions that we need to manage, and we might not get the, you know, optimal results that we're hoping for, but we have to, you know, manage the situation. Then we look at the overall quality of life for the pet. If we can get the itching under control so that they're sleeping through the night and they're not stopping to itch on walks, and maybe they're itching a little more than normal. But then we have natural things that we can intervene with too, like nettles, tincture. And I think people just need to realize that sometimes we're going to have conditions that we need to manage, just like with our own bodies. We all have ongoing stuff we're, you know, dealing with. You have that one joint that tends to ache, you know, in the cold weather or whatever, or, you know, you eat certain things and, you know, your digestion is going to get thrown off. You know, we're going to have things that we need to manage. But I think coming up with kind of an intermediate method for managing the conditions, rather than just completely suppressing symptoms, is still going to be way healthier for the pet.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel for this pet parent, because I know they've done everything they can. But when I look at the food, I just can't, I see that there's a much deeper problem. Right. So mm-hmm. just switching the food while you're on, you know, a Cytopoint or the Apoquil, there's just so much more that goes on in the body.
I think sometimes people need to make a choice. You know, there's integrative medicine. You can integrate more conventional and holistic to a point. But if you're continually going to be going back to the route of Cytopoint and or Apoquil, every time you come off of those meds, and I've seen this a lot, oftentimes we have a kind of a rebound effect where they get worse before they get better. And so people need to be willing to work through that. And so there's a point where coming to you and saying, well, I'm going to keep my dog on these drugs. What's the best food? Like, well, that's just almost an invalid question. Like, you can't even really answer that, because my answer would be, well, we need to get the dog off the drugs. Or
I look at it and I go, look, the least you can do is give the dog good nutrition, right? I mean, you got to feed the dog. So,
right.
True. So you either say, I'm going to feed a species appropriate. In the Chinese medicine world, you know, it says that lamb and venison are super hot proteins, right? So typically if a dog's inflamed, I'm probably going to say, don't feed that on a regular basis. But if it's one meal to five meals, I think that's fine. Unless you actually see that when that dog eats that one meal, that it's ripping its skin off. That would be an indication that you don't want to feed that food. But that's looking at it from just, again, what you and I both do, where we're like, look, you want all the macronutrients and micronutrients and trace minerals and vitamins and minerals that you can get, and let the body do what it does naturally. And it balances out over time. But yeah, it's a tough one when you have these dogs who are just so, their bodies have been so disrupted. And it angers me. And a lot of people want, you know, they're like, why do you guys beat up on certain industries? Well, because you're doing things that aren't healthy for the dog. And, right. and we're trying to combat that. And then stupid things are said about nutrition. And then people go down a certain path and they want the best thing for their dog, but they also want to trust that this health professional is leading them in the right direction. So do we get aggravated? You betcha, because we're in this for pet health. It would be very easy to sell crap that's not for pet health. Greenies, raw hides, colored treats.
Right. And what we recommend is what we're seeing. Like, it's not like we're just making this stuff up because we want to be rebels or something. You know, we're actually, this is what we see in pets and what pets respond to. But there are other factors like the meds and the vaccines and heredity. I mean, I think when dogs that come from generations of kibble fed, over vaccinated dogs, that, you know, there's a potential there for more health issues and the emotional issues, you know, sometimes, well, I would say most of the time dogs will take on their people's energy. And if there's, you know, disruption in the house, it's a stressful time, right? With all the COVID and people are losing jobs and, you know, having to make decisions about the shot and all this stuff. And it's a stressful time and dogs absolutely pick up on that. And I do think anxiety can contribute to things like itching, you know, it's just creates this turbulence in the body. So, you know, get your dog out, get some good exercise, you know, make sure that they're getting, you know, breed appropriate exercise. You know, Dee Dee, you have a young German Shepherd. You work her hard, or Rick that works her hard. You know, dogs like that need a lot of activity. They're not meant to just lay around the house. So you need to be thinking about, you know, is your dog's environment appropriate for their personality and the breed?
Absolutely. She doesn't get to have her breakfast in the morning until she does her work. So she's a Schutz and Terrain dog. So, you know, she has to do her tracking and her foosing. We have an A-frame out there and also a jump. And so there's a lot of exercise that she has to do in the morning. And then mm-hmm. at night, she hikes every night with Rick, mm-hmm. that he goes up the mountain and they, you know, they go up there and it's timed, you know, so it's a fast up and a fast. So it's like a 30 minute thing. And so she, not to mention that during the day, I'm throwing the ball, you know, 50 times for her because she has a lot of energy. So I think that is very important. And one thing that we noticed is there was a time where we got really busy and we weren't doing that. And you know what she did? She tore up some dog beds.
Yeah.
I was like, I got a lot of energy. How about I just tear something up? We were mm-hmm. like, okay, that's, you know, that's
at least sign. You didn't go put her, at least you recognize that and you didn't go put her on doggy Prozac, which what a lot of people do because my dog's destroying the house. I don't like that. So what do? Oh, let's just drug them so that they don't know what they're supposed to do anymore.
Yeah. Dogs are meant to have a job. They mm-hmm. are. All right. So the last thing, and this should be very evident to folks about why we say friends don't let friends feed kibble. This also is a contributing factor to cancer, is heat. Heat is a major issue when it comes to canine cancer. What are we talking about? Temperatures that are involved when kibble is made. 212 to 392 degrees, it causes a potent carcinogen, okay? So whether you're cooking foods at home or because, you know, the advent of all the cooked diets, Dr. Tracy, because everybody was afraid of bacteria that really wasn't causing any problems, but now we got to cook the food. These cause glycotoxins. So he says, if you're going to cook food, number one, you got to avoid kibble because that's just out. Okay. The temperatures are too high. You got to pay attention to if you're cooking food for your dogs at home, you got to keep the temperature under 212 degrees. And how would you know that, Dr. Jasek? How would you really know if you're cooking the food and you're keeping it under 212 degrees?
You have to have a thermometer in it the whole time.
Right.
And I bet most people don't do that. Or most people probably don't know what temperature they are cooking it at.
So these are very, very easy things to remember when, again, somebody is poo-pooing you about the raw diet and they want you to move over here to this type of diet, you do have an arsenal at your fingertips, because we have given you this every single week in the podcast. What is happening when you're giving pharmaceutical and medications, right? You're destroying the vitamins, the minerals in your dogs. What's happening when you're cooking the food, right? Carcinogens. What's happening when you're putting in dyes and oils, right? These things are not good. So what's the solution? The solution is a species appropriate raw diet, or a minimally processed, as you would say, Dr. Jasek, diet. And that's what we represent here at Raw Dog Food and Company. In the meantime, you can work with Dr. Jasek by going over to ahavet.com. There's a form on your site to work with you. She can work with you by Zoom. You can go see her here in Colorado in her home. She can talk to you about no-sodes, about cancer prevention, about a great diet, and get a second opinion on anything that you may have some questions about right now. You can do that at ahavet.com. And remember, get your dog started on a species appropriate diet. We ship all over the country. We ship on Monday so we can get the food to you. We deliver. You can pick up at the warehouse. And we have a great learning center. So go there. We thank you guys for joining the podcast today. Tell everybody about the raw dog food truth. Because here at Raw Dog Food and Company, your pet's health is our business. And friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.